Today, guys, we are in a series called Ever Wonder Why? Has anybody ever had questions of God? Questions about God? I think all of us have had questions about God. Of God, what are you doing? What's going on? Last week, we talked about, like, you know, why did God let it happen? I hope you guys were here for that. If you were not here for week one, why did God let it happen? You need to go back and you need to rewatch that one. I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to use it to build a more solid spiritual foundation for you so that as you continue on in your growth with Christ, it's built on the right thing, okay? But today I want to talk about a topic I think is probably even going to touch closer to home for many people, and that's this. Why didn't God answer my prayer? Have you guys ever prayed for something that you felt like, this is significant, this really matters? I could see God answering this prayer, but God never answered that prayer. If you are, welcome to the club, all right? Welcome to the club, because I think we're all in that club. Anybody who has ever prayed for anything significant, it didn't get what you thought was the right answer, all of us are in the same club. God, why didn't you answer my prayer? I'm thinking about a few things. One, I'm thinking about the fact that prayer is powerful, okay? And God answers powerful prayers. I mean, you look through the Old Testament and it blows your mind away. You look in Joshua chapter 10, Joshua's in a battle, the Israelites against an enemy, and he needs the sun to stay in the sky so he can finish the battle, so he can win. So what does he do? He prays, God, this sounds nuts. God, would you stop the sun in the sky so that we can continue winning this battle and push off this enemy? And the Bible says that's exactly what God does. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind away, right? It blows my mind away. There are many scientists that have studied time and have come to a conclusion that there are certain amounts of time that are unaccounted for in the way that our world works. And it all goes back to that prayer. God, supernaturally stopping his own creation, the only one who has the authority to do that, so that the enemy gets pushed back and God's people win. I think that's pretty amazing. But what confuses me is that I prayed for a friend of mine who was about my age, who was dying of cancer, and God didn't heal him, and he died of cancer. So God, you can make the sun stand still, but I pray for my friend who has cancer, and my friend dies. So then I think about 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah is there. And there are these false prophets. And they're making this like idol. And they're going to make this like false worship to a false god. And Elijah's there. And long story short, Elijah ends up, you know, getting to this point where he puts his sacrifice on the altar. And he pours water all over it. And water all over it. And water all over it. And then he prays. And God sends fire from heaven down, consumes it, and then gives him the authority to go and actually kill some 800 false prophets. Mind-blowing. Fire from heaven, that's powerful. But you know what's confusing? Is that I've been in the room praying with a couple who's going through a very difficult scenario in their marriage, praying for their marriage to be healed, and their marriage ends in divorce. God, you can call down fire from heaven, but you can't heal this marriage? Are you tracking with me here? Let me give you one more example. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. He prays for safety. God shuts the mouths of starving lions, by the way. Because we know that when he gets delivered, then the people who lied about Daniel, who got him into that situation, they got thrown in there. And the lions devoured them, like in moments. So God shuts the mouths of starving lions so that Daniel can survive an entire night? That's powerful. But I'm in Denver a year ago, and I'm standing there before we're going to go out onto the streets, and we're going to serve the homeless and the poor and those who are living in tents. And I, the lead pastor of this church, pray that God would keep us safe, and then minutes later, I get hit by a car? Like, what's up? What's going on? So Have I touched on enough issues so far to help you understand that this is a real issue for a lot of people? I'm telling you about my moments. You have your own moments. And now, right now, you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, are you doubting God? No, I'm not doubting God. I'm just creating the problem. All right? I don't doubt God. I'm just creating the problem, helping you understand. I know where you are if you're in a place where you've ever said to God, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? So Jesus goes on and Jesus says this about prayer in John 14:13-14. He says this, like, look, you can ask for anything in my name and I'll do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Why does Jesus tell us to ask him for anything in his name? And when I prayed in Jesus' name, it didn't happen. I didn't get the answer. Why? These are great questions, aren't they? And now you're hoping, I hope, Pastor, you give me an answer to this. You're not just going to leave me here with the why. And yes, I am going to give you an answer to this. But spoiler alert, okay, spoiler alert. When I look in Scripture, this pastor believes that every single one of your prayers are heard by God. Every one of them. Even the ones you feel like didn't get answered, they were heard by him. And I believe, based on Scripture, that not just every prayer is heard by God, but every prayer is answered by God. Now, I think we need to know that right off the bat. Every prayer is heard by God, and every prayer is answered by God. And there's a different, God has a different purpose for prayer than what we have for prayer. Our purpose for prayer is to bring God our problems. God's purpose for prayer is something completely different than that. It's so that we can get close to him. In fact, here's the statement that I want you to hang on to today, that the purpose of prayer isn't to get God to do our will, but the purpose of prayer is to know God so we can do his will. That's the real purpose of prayer. Why do we pray? So we can get close to God, so that we know him and we can actually do his will. That means this, that God's not your genie in a bottle. You don't rub it. You don't rub this genie with prayer and God just goes, okay, you got three more wishes. I'm going to do it for you. Some people think that's God. God's not your spiritual Santa Claus. Well, God, I think I'm on the good list, not on the naughty list. So when I pray, you should answer my prayers. No, God's not that for you. And God's not your like quick fast food drive-through to solve all your problems either. God really doesn't want us just to always bring to him our problems. God designed prayer so that you could get to know him. And as you get to know him, you get to know his heart. And as you get to know his heart, you get to know his will. And as you get to know his will, then you get to understand the true power of where prayer comes from and what happens when we pray. Because God designed prayer so that you and me could get close to him and know him. Not just to bring our problems to him. Did you guys realize that? And so here's the downfall of the modern day Christian living in America in 2023, almost 2024. Here's the main problem. The main problem is this: we don't understand what prayer's for. We think that prayer is for us to like get God to do what we want. We think that prayer is a place for us just to bring our earthly problems to God. And I would say to you, those don't even fall close to being number one. Number one is that God designed prayer so that you could get close to him. So why does Jesus say, pray anything in my name and I'll do it? Why didn't God answer my prayer? I want to give you a few reasons on maybe why God didn't answer my prayer. Okay, take a look at this. First one is this, that maybe you have a broken relationship. Maybe you have a broken relationship. Jesus talked about this in Mark chapter 11. He was talking about, look, if you have enough faith, you can actually speak to a mountain. So picture Jesus. Jesus is standing there with his followers, and he says to them, you guys see that mountain? If you have enough faith, you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll be cast into the sea. Now, I honestly don't believe that Jesus was talking about the physical mountain. I think he's talking about the mountains that we are going to face in our lives. Okay? But he says, nevertheless, you speak to that mountain, and you speak to it in my name, and it will be cast into the sea. Right after that, he turns around and he says this in Mark 11, verse 24 and 25. He goes, look, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. See, look, when you look at God's priority is more about your heart than it is about him answering your prayer. I know you don't like that, but that's God's desire. God's always looking beyond what you're asking, and he's looking at your heart, and he's looking at what's going on in your heart. Is your heart right with me? Is your heart broken? Is there something messed up? I'm looking more at the heart. And so God will many times delay and maybe even refuse to answer your prayers based on the condition of your heart. Why? Because God doesn't want to spoil you. Just think about it from a parent's perspective. If a parent gives a child everything that the child asks for but never corrects their behavior, you get a spoiled child. Guess what God does? What if God doesn't correct your behavior? You can live however you want. No matter what you ask for, he gives it to you. Well, you're going to be very spoiled. It's not the person that God's designing you to be. And it's not the way God designed us to parent. So what does God want us to do? First and foremost, he wants us to go and fix our broken relationships. And then confess our sin to him. This wasn't just what Jesus was teaching in the New Testament. This is what the psalmist in the Old Testament knew as well. Psalm 66, verses 17 through 19 says this: "For I cried out to God for help, praising God as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would what? He would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my heart." Why? Because he confessed his sin to the Lord. He recognized there's something about my sin that's going to act like a wall that's going to keep me from God's very best. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mend my broken relationships. See, I think God cares more about you mending your broken relationships many times than he cares about getting your prayer answered immediately. God cares more about your heart being right with him than he cares about answering your prayer immediately. God's going to always work on your heart and your heart first before anything else. So maybe you've got a broken relationship. Let me give you another reason why sometimes my prayer doesn't get answered. Maybe you have a wrong motive. Maybe you got a wrong motive. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus talked about the Pharisees and how these spiritual leaders, they go out on the street corners and they pray out loud for everybody to hear them pray. Like, look how powerful we are. We pray in public. People stop. They listen in the synagogues how we pray. And Jesus goes, look, that motive is wrong. I'm never going to listen to that prayer. I'm never going to answer that prayer. But guys, sometimes we are the same way. Some of you own a business or you work at a business for sure. Right? Or you're talking about your own income and you're asking God, would you bless my business and would you bless my income? But watch this. But you don't tithe. But you want God to bless your income. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a wrong motive. If you want God to bless you financially, then you put him first. Then God has the ability to bless you financially. You got the wrong motive. You got the wrong thing screwed up in the wrong place. Some of you, I want to be more powerful, more popular. I want that promotion. And God's going, you're not going to get it. You want to know why? Because it's all about self-glory. It's all about you. It's all about what you need and what you want. And it's not about how you're ever going to use any of this for me. James, the brother of Jesus, he actually wrote this in James chapter 4, verse 2. He says, look, you don't have what you want because you just simply don't ask God for it. It is too prideful. You don't ask God for it. Then he turns around and he says this, and even when you do ask, you don't get it. Why? Because your motives are wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I get it. Like, this steps on my toes a little bit, but isn't this where we really are? I mean, if we're open and honest, isn't a lot of our prayers come back to me? Isn't a lot of the prayers just to make life easier for me? Isn't a lot of my prayers just to glorify me? Isn't it just to bring me more pleasure? I'm going to tell you this right now. God's never, hear me, and I'm making a very bold, I'm putting a stake in the ground. God is never going to answer your prayers based on your pleasure only. And you're like, whoa, I thought God loves me. He does. God always answers prayer so that he gets the attention and he gets the glory. If you get the pleasure, it's a bonus. I know you're going like, man, that sounds harsh. No, it's not harsh. It's this. God wants prayer to get you closer to him, and God wants to answer prayer to bring glory to him. Why? Because when God answers prayer, he wants to bring more people to him. It's always about people being brought to God. Always. And in the end, you will get blessed by it when we're praying God's will and we're praying the things that God wants. Look, I just know. I know you thought that it was all about you, and I'm sorry, but it's not all about you. It's about him. It's about what he wants. Now, come on, look at me right now, all right? Look at me right now. I just want you to think this in your heart, okay? I still love you, Pastor Jeff, all right? I still love you. You're my friend. You stepped on my toes a little bit, but I still love you, all right? All right, come on. Can you just like nod your head at me if you still love me, all right? All right. This is your moment. If you don't love me, all right, I'm just joking. All right, but I'm sorry. All right, but here's number three. Number three, reason why maybe you didn't get your prayer answered, right? You may not believe that God will do it. You may not believe God will actually do it. I mean, I don't know about you, but how many times have you prayed, right, only to have doubt and fear and worry overcome your heart right in the middle of their prayer? Only in the middle of your prayer does all of a sudden faith start to evaporate right in the middle of the moment where you need him the most. Mark chapter 9, same thing happened. A father has a son who's demon-possessed, and the son is foaming at the mouth. He's mute at times. He won't even talk. This evil spirit is putting him into seizures. He's throwing him to the ground. It says that he's even thrown him into the fire and thrown him in the water trying to kill him. This father knows that Jesus has power and he has authority to heal, so he brings his son to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about the father, I'm thinking to myself, like, this guy's got no peace. He gets no rest. How can you, like, ever get away from your son? You got to have 24-hour surveillance on your son if he's throwing himself into the fire and into the water trying to kill himself. You got to be watching him all the time. The father may not even have a job right now. So times are tough. Okay, so let's make sure we understand that. Times are tough for the father, but he brings his son to Jesus nevertheless. Mark chapter 9, verses 21 through 24. Since he was a little boy, the father tells him, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. What are the next three words? If you can. This is the man talking to Jesus. If you can. Jesus turns around, I love this. What do you mean, if I can? Have you ever had that kind of prayer with Jesus? Like, if you can you help me here? And Jesus turns around, very first thing, who cares? The kid's throwing himself on the ground, you know, he's vomiting at the mouth, things are going on all over the place. Everyone's attention is on the boy, and Jesus turns to the man and says, what do you mean, if I can? What? Like, challenges on, basically. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked him. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe. I believe you can do it. I really do believe you can do it. But it's really hard for me. It's hard for me to forget about the last number of months where I've lost sleep and I'm weary and I'm tired. It's hard for me. I've been carrying this burden too long on my own. It is hard for me to overcome my unbelief. I've seen too much. It's touched me too much. I've experienced too much with this. This has become my new normal. It's hard for me. And guys, I just want you to know right now, when Jesus looked him in the eye and he said to him, what do you mean? It wasn't condemning. It was like, I want you to know who I am because I know your life has been hard. I know it's been difficult for you. I want to help you. I want to fill your soul with faith so that you can believe again that all things are possible if you can. It needs to be eradicated from our vocabulary. Yes, Jesus can do it. Things might seem impossible at times. But yet you're still bringing your need to Jesus. Keep bringing your need to Jesus. It might seem overwhelming. You might be overcome with a faith attack, with fear or worry, but keep bringing your need to Jesus. Jesus healed this boy, and he can heal you. Even though the father struggled with that faith. See, because the bottom line is this, you don't control God. You don't control him, right? All God asks you to do is just to trust him. So will God heal? Will God deliver? Will God set you free? It's not your problem. We think that's our problem. It's not our problem. Will God do it? I don't control him. It's not my problem. Have faith. Believe. Watch this, though. Can God do it? Different story. That's where we wrestle. Will God do it? Leave it in his hands. Can God do it? That's where you have to keep wrestling to believe, yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Will you do it? Not my problem. But yes, you can. That's where God wants you and me to live. Nothing's impossible with him. Faith matters all the time. Over and over in Scripture, we keep seeing this over and over and over again. According to your faith, this happened or that happened. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, a woman who dealt with a severe medical issue over and over in her life. Here's what happened. She comes to Jesus. Jesus turns around. She touches Jesus. He turns around. And when he saw her, he said this, "Daughter, be encouraged. What's made you well?" What made you well? Your faith made you well. The fact that you believed that I can. You didn't know if I would, but you believed that I can. Can I just relieve you from the weight of will you and just encourage you just to believe that he can? Two blind guys, they follow Jesus into a house. And no, that's not the start of a good joke. Two blind guys follow Jesus into a house, right? Because they wanted to get healed. In Matthew chapter 9, it says that they went right into the house where Jesus was staying. They followed him right into the house. Two blind guys follow Jesus into a house. I think that's funny all by itself. All right. How'd they get there, right? How'd they even know what to do? They got like bat sense, like this going. All right, they said this. Jesus asked them, look what Jesus says to these two guys. Do you believe I can make you see? Now notice, Jesus doesn't go for will I make you see? He goes for do you believe that I can make you see? Right? Do you believe that I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him. We do. Then Jesus touched their eyes and he said, because of your faith, it has happened. Have faith. Have faith that Jesus can. Will he? It's not your problem. But don't stop believing. It's like the Journey rock song. You know what I'm saying? Like, just get that stuck in your head right now. Don't stop believing. Come on, everybody. All right, sing it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't stop believing. That's enough. All right. Just get that locked. Get that locked in there. Don't stop believing that he can. He can. All right. Fourth reason why maybe your prayer wasn't answered is this. Maybe God just has something different. Maybe he has something different. Maybe he's got a different timing. Maybe he's got a different purpose. Maybe he has a different reason. And I want to go back to John chapter 14, the very first scripture that we read. Let's read it one more time. John 14, 13. It says this, that you can ask for anything. Would you just read this with me, by the way? Okay. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now you're saying to yourself, well, I did pray. I prayed for my friend who had cancer in Jesus' name. I included the name of Jesus when I prayed for my friends that were going through a divorce. I prayed in Jesus' name when we were standing on the streets of Denver before I walked out and got hit by the car. Like, I've used the name of Jesus, Jeff. It doesn't work. That's because you have misread the scripture. You have read it through Western eyes instead of reading it through the contextual eyes of what Jesus really meant here. Jesus didn't say that you can just wield his name around like it's some magic potion, and if you just mention the name of Jesus, everything that you want is going to happen. That's what people think took place in the scripture. That's not what took place in the scripture. Jesus says this, if you ask anything in my name, which means this, you ask anything according to my will. Ask anything according to my will. Now let's back the train up for a second. Why did God give us prayer? So that we could get close to him. So that what can happen? So we can get to know his will. So that when we ask and we believe that he can, we start asking more accurately. The more accurate you ask according to his name, according to his will, and you believe that he can, now powerful things start taking place in your life. So what does that mean about prayer? I know it's not about you, it's not about me. So it means this. True prayer, it's going to blow your mind. True prayer doesn't start with you. True prayer starts with him. It's first found what's in his heart. I pray what's in his heart for my situation. I believe that he can, and God moves. It's all about the long game. The long game is, are you going to press into God to get to know his heart? Too many of us don't want to make the investment to press into God to actually get to know his heart. We just want to pray the nice, easy prayer and get the nice, quick answer. We want the microwave Jesus. And he's going, no, I'm looking for the slow cook. I want you to get to know me. And whoever will invest to get to know him will be the one that starts praying in his name, believing that he can. That will be the person to start seeing God do the miraculous. And they'll watch a correlation between their prayer and the outcome. So when we do pray in that manner, then mountains are moved. But many times, we don't know his will. And so we're praying, and God's got a different timing. God's got a different purpose. God's got a different reason. One of the reasons why the answer to the prayer that you prayed hasn't come to fruition is because God's got a different timing. God's got a different way. God's got a different season. Why? Remember this. Like, the purpose of prayer isn't to get God to do our will. The purpose of prayer is to know God so that we can do his will. Can I just wrap this up and just let you know? I told you earlier, I believe that God hears all prayer and answers all prayer. There's four answers God gives to you when you pray. Check out these four answers. The first one is this: no. No is an answer, by the way. Everybody understands this, right? You don't like it, but no is an answer. And I think we all understand that one. The next one is not now. Not now. Like, it's not the right timing. Okay, you might have the right heart, but it's not the right timing. I'm doing something beyond you. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts. My vision is beyond your vision. So you got the right heart, but not now. That's an answer. That is an answer. You're not ready. Some of we ask for things that we think we need, we think are going to be best right now, and God's going, no, you're not ready. If I actually gave that to you right now, it would destroy you. If I gave it to you right now, it would corrupt you. If I gave it to you right now, I know you don't see a year down the road, but man, you just would not be the same man or woman that you are right now. So no, you're not ready. I'm going to work on your heart first before I ever give the answer to that. So no, not now. You're not ready. And then the last answer, which we're all looking for, is yes. Those are four answers, guys. God gives those to us. So don't give up when we pray. Know this, God hears every prayer, and he's answering prayer, even if it's not the answer you're looking for. So can I just finalize this message by just giving you one big, massive action step? I want you to practice persistent prayer. Remember, what does prayer do? Prayer gets you close to God. So I want you to practice persistent prayer. Why? Because that's what Jesus told us to do. Watch this. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Here's what Jesus said. And I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Don't give up, don't lose faith, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Look at the beauty of that. What does Jesus tell us to do when you're not getting the answer that you think that you need? He doesn't say back away, blame God, walk away from him, do whatever you want to do. Right? And did blame him, but like, you don't exist? No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says this: you don't get what you ask for the first time, keep asking. Why? Because he gets you closer and closer to the heart of God. You're seeking the answer for something, and you keep seeking and keep seeking, and you're not getting what you're wanting. Jesus says, no, don't blame God. Don't walk away. But keep seeking. Move into God. Grab a hold of him. Hang on to him. Keep seeking. You keep knocking, and it doesn't seem like the door's open to you. You keep knocking for the answer to the prayer that you need in your life, and the door's not opening. Jesus says, look, lean into the door a little more and keep knocking, because the more that you knock, the more you know me. And here's what's going to happen. You're asking. As you keep asking, it might change and get directed more to God's will. You're seeking. If you keep seeking, it's going to change, and it's going to start seeking the things that God wants for your life instead of maybe what you initially started seeking. The door you were knocking on, all of a sudden you find yourself knocking, but you're knocking on a different door because you realized this door wasn't the one I needed. This is the door God wanted for my life. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't give up. Every prayer is heard. Every prayer is answered. God is good. You're not responsible for will God. All you're responsible for is just keep on believing. Don't stop believing that Jesus can. Amen? Come on. Come on. So come on. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Jesus, we believe you can. It hasn't happened yet. It's like we're up against a wall. Time's running out. But we believe you can. We believe it. Lord, we're very much like the Father who brought his Son to you. We believe you can, but there are so many doubts that race through our minds. It seems impossible. I've never seen anyone else get an answer to this prayer. The odds are against us. I've lived with whatever it is, and it's become my new normal. Lord, would you please, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us in our unbelief? We waver in that all the time. God, would you just entice us to be people of prayer, that prayer is more focused on just knowing you and knowing your heart, so that when the trouble time comes, we know your heart, and we know better how to more accurately ask according to your will and believe in our heart that, Jesus, you can, so that we can see mountains that seem impassable, situations that seem like mountains, uncrossable. We can see those things cast into the sea for your glory and for your sake, not just so that we feel good, but so that your kingdom advances in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.